welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
And I'm Clint Ruckus, filling in for Brian Keller.
Yes, Brian is 11 days or 10 days away from being back to Redmond, so, which is surprising because we're going to be leaving soon, too.
I know.
Or at least some of us are.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to go.
Which brings us to our first topic, and we got a full show. Channel 9 Live is going to be at the Visual Studio 2010 launch Monday, April 12th.
Yes.
So what this means is you'll be able to watch the keynote, find the big announcements on the Visual Studio 2010 launch. Directly after the keynote, you can watch Channel 9 Live until 5 p.m. Nick Fillingham has posted this.
That's 5 p.m. Pacific.
5 p.m. Pacific. Nick has posted the schedule, which is this, and includes a detailed breakdown every half hour in terms of what's going on. Following day, April 13th, Silverlight 4 launches. And we'll have Scott Gu and a bunch of other folks as well on the Silverlight team. So a lot of stuff, great ways for you to ask your questions, so make sure to get involved.
Yeah, get on Twitter and ask away.
Yeah.
So Visual Basic 2010, they've added in auto properties, line continuations, and collections.
So this is a post by Scott Guthrie.
Yes.
Talking about the cool stuff in VB 2010. And Clint and I were talking about this before. Auto properties is probably the biggest one, because if you could see here, we can pop up the picture and Michael will pop it up here. Left side is code before VB 2008. And right side is the new code for the exact same thing. I mean, just look at the amount of lines of code as us when we were writing the Coding for Fun book, having to do VB and C#. Just the amount of pages and wall of text to do something pretty basic is so much cleaner.
Yeah, and it pretty much helps bring Visual Basic now back up to par with C# as we're trying to make the two languages equal.
Right, exactly. In terms of why does one language have one, it's sort of evolving in different directions. They're evolving sort of in the same path, for lack of a better word. So, cool stuff, and love it. Love the terse syntax in VB. And still readable.
Yes.
Still readable.
So this is the web utility class. Pete Brown, our good friend, did a nice little write-up on this. Now, the big thing is, with the client profile for .NET 3.5, it didn't include the HTML utility class. So you couldn't encode, decode, and a couple other things with HTML without using the full .NET library. Now,
which means like you have to install the full .NET framework on all the different machines, including things like ASP.NET, which really you could have just used the client profile for.
Yeah. So now in .NET 4.0, we introduced the web utility class, which is part of system.NET instead of system.html.
That's right.
System.html? Okay, whatever.
It's under system.web.
Yeah. Okay, for the HTML utility.
Yes.
But so this now allows you to do all this stuff with using just the client profile to help reduce the install footprint if someone doesn't have .NET installed.
Exactly. So now you can just install the .NET client profile for one of the biggest use cases, which was encoding and decoding. This was a gem that I found through, this was through Greg Duncan's post, but it's a video and a tutorial on how to use a .VueSkater's free tool that comes with Visual Studio 2010 that allows you to basically add, I'd call it application profiling information. And, you know, a lot of, you were mentioning Radar, is it for Windows?
I think it was called Radar. I know Charles did a talk on this on Channel 9 for about how we gather, during the beta, we gathered data from how people were using it, and then we could figure out what parts needed improvement. So this is the nice thing about this tool is now it lets programmers figure out what parts of their applications are slow on other people's machines. So rather than me, you know, guessing and taking and saying, oh, well, this is what I think is slow, you can actually systematically say, okay, I have 50 clients, all clients are
suffering this one
problem.
So I'm not sure if this does performance, though. I think it does feature usage. Right, so I can see how many times my app is being used and then how many times my methods are being called, right? So it's like, imagine I'm building Word and I have like 20 different features and which ones are actually being used and, hey, why am I putting, you know, this feature in the first item when nobody's actually using it?
Okay.
So it's more to kind of see how people are actually using your applications. But there could be some performance thing. I just didn't see it in there.
Okay.
But you could also just make up features for their product. And
sure.
Then sue them. Sue them. Which...
Okay, so this is a post on Windows programming. The work on my it works on my machine syndrome. So
yes.
For coding for fun, we kind of have this issue where because Windows is such a diverse ecosystem, and everyone's computers potentially could be configured slightly differently. So you have like your program files shortcut with the percentage program files percentage to help get there, and then UAC control and file access, et cetera, et cetera. And certain programs do make assumptions. So this
right.
talks about how to potentially get around those.
Yeah, and thing gotchas that you should know, even as a .NET programmer, even though some of this stuff is encapsulated for you, it could still come back and bite you. Certainly, we faced this on Add-on Studio
yeah.
when we were building World of Warcraft, very large game, happened to be, I think it was in 2006, made the move from being in program files to being in public games.
Yeah.
And there were a number of different things that had to happen in terms of security and folder protection and access to it and virtualization of files, and it was just more difficult than it needed to be.
Even when we were doing the T-shirt cannon, like there was parts of the web end that I had to go modify, so then if we did switch servers, because the computers had to be named differently, making it so it was agnostic made it so much easier on the server end rather than being on computer one and then you think it's on computer two. It helped reduce the amount of touch points. So this, you know, talks about how to reduce a bunch of that.
Yeah, so Patrick Smackey has done NDepend, and he talks a lot about his... These are the gotchas that you probably need to either... You should certainly be aware of and likely may encounter some bugs on. So
the WPF Bag of Tricks.
Now, this is Kevin Moore, who I don't know if you remember.
He used to be a Microsoft employee.
Yeah, we met Kevin at Mix, which is one of the cool things you get to meet people. He was actually the guy. There was a war room. Clint and I did the T-shirt cannon. There was a war room, and there was a guy who was building the diary application that was next to us with Mike Harsh.
I was so tired.
It was Kevin Moore. So I met him through there, and then only then did I realize, you know, his bag of tricks. And, you know, I have an email out to him to do some coding for fun.
So I did put this on Coding for Fun. There is the big thing, in my opinion, is now Bag of Tricks works with Silverlight and Windows Phone as well as
right.
WPF. He did a bunch of little tweaks to improve stuff. He also removed one of his controls, which... You know, a lot of people don't remove stuff, and I think his justification was the WPF one that's included with our, I think it's wpf.codeplex.com.
The toolkit, sure.
The toolkit is better, so use that.
Right.
And you know, I'm all about using the best tool, and his tools for Drink Tender is actually, I used his grid on it, his sorting
nice.
Grid.
Nice.
So that's how actually I learned about his wonderful toolkit.
Very cool. So, kudos, and check this out, obviously, for Windows Phone development.
Donut caching and dynamically loading user controls.
All right, so I love terms like this, donut caching. Donut caching is let's say we have a static page.
Yeah.
Everything's static, so we're caching the page, except for a part of it, the donut hole, if you will. And that donut hole can be a user control. Maybe it's an ad component, maybe it's a login component that has, you know, your user profile mm-hmm, statistics, mm-hmm. your views, whatever, you know, your comments, blah, blah, blah. What this article does is show you how to use that and how to combine it with dynamically loading controls.
Yeah.
So when it actually walks through, you know, not to spend too much time on the code, but we're doing up a page, loading a control, and actually using a string writer, HTML text writer to basically write all that out. So if you want a good example of how to do, one, use donut caching, and then use it with dynamically loaded controls.
Yeah. Before this, I didn't even know what donut caching was. So
now you can use it in conversations.
I know. Do you donut cache? I totally donut cache.
I totally donut cache. All right. So another friend of ours, Laurent, who I got to see at Mix as well, and he was actually asking about how to build project templates. So I was telling him because he's now built project templates and item templates for his MVVM Lite toolkit for Windows Phone 7.
Yep.
Now, the Mix sessions are all available online. Laurent has one of the highest viewed ones. And it's on how to understand what MVVM actually is and examples. So definitely check out his video if you're still looking for how to use MVVM with Silverlight.
Yep. The ultimate list of free Windows Phone software and resources. Now,
yeah.
this is huge. I did a quick little post before I... This was the first I knew of this actually existing, so I'm going to go update a Coding for Fun post. But it basically breaks down where to get the tools, where to find out resources, toolkits, et cetera, et cetera. Everything.
The Channel 9 Learning Center,
yeah.
Resources.
It's your one-stop place to go for the giant list of everything that's coming out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, some history of Microsoft videos. So Jeff Rakes is... I forget what number employee is, but one of the earliest employees and really started Office and, you know, worked on things like VisiCalc and worked at Apple. So you all should definitely check out this video if you're interested in sort of the history of Microsoft and the history of Office. Jeff Rakes is a brilliant and super interesting guy, and Tina's just posted the second version
Ooh.
Of this as well.
So you can get part one and two.
Part one and part two. So I love this stuff, so definitely check it out.
Cool. So this is Tina once again. Had the chance to talk with Cliff B. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his last name. From Epic Games. So if you don't know who he is, he's the lead designer, design director at Epic. So he was the guy that pretty much came up with Gears of War and that entire series, and talking about, you know, how it was to go from here to there.
Sure. I think one of the funniest things that happened recently is he was supposed to be on Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, I heard about this, yeah.
And he got bumped for Justin Bieber. Ended up being on dig.com. So I think we should...
I think he was going to announce the new game, too.
I know. So and he said, you know, I don't want to start an internet war with Justin Bieber, but it ended up being on dig.com. And I'm just like...
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, well, I only know him from the what was it, Funny or Die?
Okay.
When Bieber or Die took over on April Fool's Day, they had a bunch of Bieber or Die videos.
Okay.
But I have no idea who he is.
I'm gonna assume Jersey Shore.
No, no. I think he's musical or something. But so the point is there's a lot of interesting stuff, and I think by tonight you should know about his new game because
okay.
I think the Jimmy Fallon's airing tonight, which means it'll be on by the time you watch this.
Yep.
So, cool stuff.
So, auto page resize. So, if you've ever gone to images.bing.com, you'll notice that you do your search, you'll get this. Basically, you keep on scrolling down, and it will keep on loading more and more and more images. And it's an infinitive scroll. So, sites like Channel 9, you have to click next to go to the next thing. And then what Scott Hanselman did was he created a post telling you, well, here's some tools that help try to automate that for you.
Right.
And this actually got on Lifehacker as well.
Yeah.
So trying to tell people, well, if you want that effect, here's ways to do it. It's not perfect because lots of things can break it, but here's ways to help try to make your web experience a lot better.
Yeah, he gives one example that's a jQuery example. He gives another that's using a tool called Auto Page Resize.
Yeah.
That's a Firefox and Chrome browser extension.
Is Grease Monkey?
Maybe.
I think there was one that was with Grease Monkey, but yeah, it was.
It's a browser extension that basically does this, and you have to set an XML file to be able to do this. So there's a number of different ways to do it, but it's cool and it is nice to see on the Lifehacker. All right, picks of the week. All right, so Steve Marks, who we know and love and always does fun demos, he has now built annoy.smarks.com, and it's the letting the internet choose my wallpaper. So if you go there, he actually, in one of the, was it a Code Camp? Or, sorry, so Windows Azure Firestarter event, he built this application. What the application does is loads a bunch of images, and then you get to choose which image becomes his wallpaper. So at any time, people on the internet are doing stuff, and then he's actually retrieving and dynamically updating his wallpaper.
I'm very happy he gives them a list of images.
Yeah, so I actually want him to change this such that, like, anybody can post stuff, and you could just... I'd love to just see the highlight reel of what pictures people chose for his background. It's just like...
This is like the...
Disregarding Channel 9 logo? I mean, come on.
Bad memories of the most recent episode of South Park is coming for Chat Roulette.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Damn it. I'm going to have to... I've been too sick. But this is cool, and the source code's available. So kudos to Steve.
And because I love coding for fun...
This is cool.
Coding for fun. It's not the laser graffiti that we showed off at PDC. We decided to do a lead up to that article because what Jeremiah was doing at PDC, it would require a lot more. So this is like our nice little intermediary step. It was done by Randy Moss, and it's painting with light. So you get your camera, you hold up a light pen or a laser, and you start painting with it, and it actually draws on a background image.
Okay.
So he talks about how he did it. He talks about how to boost performance, and I think if he did it with WPF, he probably could get a bit better performance, but he did it with Windows 32. So he was actually using the unsafe comment and fixed pointers, which kind of made me cringe, but it worked. So, and it was all about performance.
I think one of the challenges is he was using Direct Shell.
Yeah.
Right. So, I think, in general, there is a managed library wrapper for Direct Shell, but it's very...
I was thinking more of if he was using Readable Bitmap, he could have probably gotten a bit better performance.
Well, yeah, I think it depends on what stuff he was doing in Direct Shell, but yeah, sure.
So, and that is my pick of the week. So, if you want it, full source code. We have a run it, code it, library, go nuts.
Sweet. And that wraps up this week on Channel 9. And we will be live this week on Channel 9 at the Visual Studio launch. So
Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, actually just Monday because Tuesday is short. So we're only doing this week on Channel 9
live.
Channel 9 live, yes. Not this week on Channel 9.
Oh, sorry.
But yes, it's totally different.
Sorry.
The only thing people tune in for is this week.
Actually, I don't know if the intro's still going. Hey!